The Vikings win their first preseason game of the year over the Las Vegas Raiders, 24-23. We talked quite a bit about J.J. McCarthy in the first hour. We did not talk about Sam Darnold very much, which there's a reason for that. He barely played. But nonetheless, Vikings are 1-0 on a meaningless season of four games. Alec Lewis was at the game yesterday, covers the Vikings for The Athletic, and he joins us this morning on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Alec, thanks for joining us. We all kind of, the consensus is, we saw what we like to see out of J.J. McCarthy. What did you see that you liked, and what's kind of the team thought after the game yesterday on his performance?
Yeah, first, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. It's fun to be back. Fun to be talking football again. I know it's been a minute and a long build-up to get here. But, no, I mean, the two things for me that stood out the most were, A, the way J.J. responded from the interception, which was a 3rd-and-8 little play where his pass protection wasn't the best, and rather than kind of resetting and probably firing over the middle early, he tried to kind of escape out of the pocket and create, and was a little late on the throw. But the way he responded from that adversity in that environment that he'd never been in before, that really impressed me. And then, like, people are going to make a big deal about the two touchdown passes, and it's great to throw touchdowns, of course, and to hit kind of the layups that you need to hit. But for me, it was the plays before each of those touchdowns that really will stay in my mind. There was a 3rd-and-9 that he converted while getting hit in the face by a free rusher and converted over the middle to tight end Nick Muse, excuse me. And then there was a 4th-and-1 where he stood in and hit Tristan Jackson over the middle. And like, the touchdowns don't happen if you don't convert those weighty downs, which is what Kevin O'Connell calls them. So it's the response from the adversity in that environment, and then the poise on those downs, which just, I mean, if you've been around training camp, nothing about what we saw yesterday was surprising. Like, there have been times where he's looked like the young quarterback that he is, but most of the time, it's just been an impressive run. Like, I've said it publicly many times, I did not expect him to look as good as he's looked in training camp. And then, obviously yesterday it was great that a lot of people got to see what has shown up on the practice fields in Eagan. Everybody was pretty impressed, both internally and I think the fans who watched it on TV and were there to watch.
Alec, I had the opportunity to be there at practice a while ago, and I came away with exactly what you're talking about. And one of the debates that we've been having between the three of us here, and last week we had a big debate about this, is, can J.J. McCarthy be the starter? And my question, my answer was, yes, he should be. We picked him as high as we did for a reason. I think he could get out there. I don't think it's going to hurt his psyche. What do you think about that? Is he capable of being able to start? Maybe it's not even game one, but maybe it is. Is that something that is far-fetched, or is that in the cards?
Yeah, you know, week one to me is a little – It's a little far-fetched. It's not, like, I'm not going to rule it out of the question, because Kevin O'Connell hasn't done that. And the fact that they haven't done that, to me, says that they want to continue to see everything they want to see from both him and Sam Darnold. But, I mean, in terms of him starting over the course of this season, unless Sam Darnold is performing at a level that is blowing all of us away, I think pretty obviously, then at some point, yeah, I do expect J.J. to start. And I got to be honest, I thought this could be, like, J.J. sits the whole year, he sits from a developmental standpoint, and they think about this thing very long term. But I think even them, internally, they've been very impressed just with how advanced he is for a 21-year-old. And that's the other thing about this. Like, it's not as if he is the Michael Penix who's 25, 26, where you feel like you got to get him on the field. It's not like he is the Drake May who's even 2 years older than J.J. McCarthy, the Jaden Daniels who's 24 years old. Like, those guys, I know they were all picked in the same class, obviously, but they are in way different places in terms of, like, the development and where the arc of their career might go. So, I mean, I've tried to follow kind of the approach of what I've heard from the staff from the get-go, which is the long-term development, but you continue to see him show up and perform the way he does. And to me, him starting is not going to be a question at all of arm strength of arm talent, of accuracy. Like, I mean, you watch him out of practice, and it just stands out pretty obviously. But to me, it's more, can he navigate an entire system from the get-go? Like, that's the question. The onus that falls on the quarterback in Kevin O'Connell's system is pretty – it's a pretty big load. And so how quickly they're willing to put all of that on him, we'll see. But I say that, and I also know that they're doing a lot in terms of the offensive line has a lot more say than they've had in the last couple of years with Kevin O'Connell, because you have a new quarterback in the system. So I do think there are ways that they can kind of manage the overall load in terms of pre-snap process and all that, to where I come back to where I started, and I say I do think at some point JJ will be starting, given the trajectory that he's kind of on.
Alec Lewis from The Athletic joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. I don't want to spend all this time on the quarterback position, but we've talked a bunch about JJ McCarthy and not a lot about Sam Darnold and how pivotal this season will be in his career. Do you get this? How much have you even talked to him? I mean, everyone seems to be focused on JJ. Do you get the sense that he feels like this year is a chance for him to springboard himself for future, that this is kind of a make, I guess for lack of a better term, a make or break season for him for the rest of his NFL career after this?
Yeah, I mean, I have not sat down with him one-on-one and had some of these conversations. He's held a couple pressers, and he's been mostly, I would say, just kind of general with how he's talked about everything. But there's no question that for a guy who is still as young as he is, having had two starting opportunities in the past, in New York and in Carolina, like, this is probably his last obvious chance to start games, to be the guy, and to prove that he is what people thought he would be going back to the 2018 draft. You know, it's funny, like, I've had a lot of conversations with some execs across the league and scouts, and they're like, yeah, I mean, like, we love this guy. Like, we thought he was the safest pick out of all the guys in that draft, and that draft included Josh Allen and some others. And really, to me, and it's something that I've reported around a lot going back weeks and months, like, I think Sam's story is very emblematic of what happens when you are thrown into these environments that don't that aren't built to maximize quarterback development. And it's almost poetic to me that this guy who was in those environments is now starting to potentially fend off a guy who is in arguably a
the exact same environment. Yes.
No, they like the most optimal environment. So it's like this to me, it's like he's got to look at this and be like, man, I wish when I came into the league, I wasn't going to the New York Jets, where it was an absolute mess. I was in an environment that is focused on quarterback development around some really smart coaches. So really interesting. But yeah, I mean, yesterday I thought he too looked very good. Like, there were, I think he finished four for eight for like 58 yards or something like that. But there were a couple conversions for him. There was a third down where he found Jordan Addison on and he kind of gotten tripped in the backfield. Pretty impressive throw. I think the fans who have been out at training camp, you're probably a little surprised by the overall athleticism of him. So I'm very, maybe it's the nerd in me, maybe it's the fact that this is my job, I don't really know, but I'm very interested to see what he will look like with the skill players on this team and with the coaching of this team. Like, that is an interesting football experiment for me.
Alec,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He's a USC quarterback. End of story. He's not going to go anywhere. Hey, so Dallas Turner, he's been amazing, absolutely amazing. I was there watching that guy, and he is a freak. I think if you're looking around the NFL and you want to find the guys that absolutely will be game changers, I think he's one of them. What have you seen out of him, and do you like what you've seen so far? He even had a sack yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was really, to me, it was the first time he's not going up against Christian Darrisaw, which is not really it's not fair that a guy stepping in who's a rookie has to go up against that mountain of a man every single day. It's kind of ridiculous, and it's got to be, for him, like, again, I've got to go against 71. This is absurd. But, no, I mean, yesterday, I think you saw why the Vikings traded as many picks as they did for him. It is just a rare combination of speed and strength that allows him to, I mean, he just win with on pure athleticism. I think there's going to be a runway that is going to be necessary for him in terms of overall technique and in terms of just overall size, probably in the end against some of these elite tackles in the NFL. But I mean, you can't find guys who are 240 pounds who run 4.38 and can jump 40 inches. Like, it just doesn't, you can't find those guys on the street, and that's what he is. So to see him as well in that environment and look very comfortable, I think it bodes well for his development. But again, like, I think with both of these guys, as optimistic as everyone should be, like, the league is, as you guys obviously know, the league is ridiculous. It's very hard, and the talent is very impressive. So it's not going to be smooth sailing at all times, I don't think, for either one of them, including Dallas, who is as much of a freak as he is.
Before we let you go, Alec, I want to talk to you about another high draft pick for the Vikings from 2 years ago, Lewis Cine, who was picked number one, first round, 32 overall. Injuries have plagued him in his first few years in the season. He did not look, I think Pete and I both said, he did not look like he was making much of an impact in yesterday's preseason game. But the secondary is in a lot of disarray right now with the Vikings in terms of injuries. Do you see him making it past the preseason? I mean, I know that there's quite a hit if he gets cut, but do you feel that he will be on the roster this year?
Well, if I was pegging it right now, I'd say no. I mean, the safety room is so deep with what they have in terms of Harrison Smith and Cam Bynum and Josh Metellus and even Theo Jackson, who has kind of progressed into a guy who you wonder if ultimately when Harrison Smith hangs it up, if Theo can kind of take the reins there. Like, he's been that impressive going back to the spring. And Lewis, it's just been a tough go. I mean, the injury obviously in 2022 in London was so suboptimal and not what you're looking for, but he didn't play much before that. It's just never felt like the staff, it just never felt like he's been viewed as a difference maker, really. And I think the hill to climb to prove that at this point on a roster that has a bunch of intriguing undrafted guys and just ancillary talent that they're going to want to keep. I think it probably will be the end of the road.
Alec Lewis, thanks so much, man. Appreciate your time and hope we can do it again throughout the season. Okay.
Thanks,
yeah,
Alec.
Of course. Enjoy. No, love it every time. I appreciate it. Like I said, like, I'm pumped to be talking football. I told one of the execs yesterday before the game, I was like, this is going so fast. Like, what is going? It's I love it. It's very fun. So no, I appreciate it, and we will talk.
We'll be in week 16 before you know it. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, before I know it. Yeah, after the sprint that is this insane. What will be a roller coaster as it always is. No, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Enjoy your rest of your Sunday.
Thanks, Alec Lewis on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline from The Athletic. We'll take a break and come back. We'll start to talk a little bit of Olympics as well and answer some unanswerable questions. We always love to do that. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO.